Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Well, we've got a couple more things that are exciting, so guys, don't go anywhere because we've got something for every man here, and Pastor Natalie and Caleb actually wrote a word of encouragement for every single man here, so you've got a handwritten note that's coming to you, as well as something else, and I'm going to actually get it out for my illustration for my talk this morning, and then we're going to also have a dad joke contest and a watermelon smash contest, and there are actual real gift cards. There's one to a steakhouse and one to Dick's. So the winners of those contests actually get a prize. So you don't want to go anywhere after church today. It'll probably just be another like 15 minutes or so afterwards. So every man here is going to get a bag that says a new adventure awaits or begins. And then you're going to get a bucket list card and a compass. Let's see, what does this one say? Isaiah 11:2. That's what this one word of affirmation is. So, guys, don't leave without getting one of these, okay? But before we dive into the message, I want to honor every male that is here. I know that sounds kind of weird, male and female. God created them, right? But every man that's here in our leadership team that's a spiritual father in our house. So I think that's YouTube. Pastor Tom is in Ohio at his 150th farm reunion with all of his relatives. Most of my relatives are Amish and Mennonites, so I think he's having a they're just incredible people. So they're all out in Ohio, if you're wondering where he is. But Pastor Rod, Caleb, and then Brian is in the back. So can you guys just stand and can we just honor them this morning? Fantastic. We are a church that celebrates raising up men of God. How many know that the world needs more men of God? Amen? And I've heard some statistics that if a father comes to church, there's more than a 50% likelihood that the whole family will come. And if the mom comes to church, there's still a chance the whole family will come to church. But there's a special anointing on men as leadership. Amen? And so we just want to honor you guys and thank you for being here. So we're going to dive into our elephant series here, and I'm going to just bring the elephant downstage with me. If you weren't here last week and you're wondering what kind of church you're visiting this morning, we are doing our second, everyone say second, our second installment on Elephant in the Room. And I'm really excited. I had a call with my mentor and my pastor. His name is Pastor Chris. And we were talking this week on the phone, and he didn't know that our sermon series was an elephant in the room. And he asked me a personal question, like a prayerful, spiritual question. And he said, well, what's holding you back, or what are you thinking about these days? It was one of those types of questions. And I said my answer. And he said, well, is that an elephant in the room, or is that an elephant in your mind? And I was like, do you know our sermon series is Elephant in the Room? And he was like, no, I had no clue. Like, that's just my question. So I'm really excited because he unlocked some ideas that I'm not going to preach on today because we're going to do a special Father's Day message. But I've got some insight that God's been showing me, and he didn't even know that our series was this series. So how many know God is actually saying something right now? Amen? So we said something like this for Mother's Day, and I feel like it's really important that we say this on Father's Day as well. Father's Day can be the best day for some of us, and it can be the worst day for others. And I love to list a couple men in the Bible that had different family situations, and some of you guys might find yourself here. Like Adam, you might have children with serious rivalry. Like the father in Jesus' parable, you might still be waiting for your prodigal to return or have welcomed him home. Like Abraham, you might have a child that you have waited years for or are still waiting for. Like Joseph, you may have adopted a child. And like the Father God, you may have given everything you have to your children, and maybe they can't always see that. So we want to just honor you wherever you find yourself, whatever storyline you are as a man. We want to honor you this morning, and if today is difficult, or even if today isn't difficult, I encourage you, get into the Bible and find your story in the Bible, because our stories are in the Bible. You can find a Bible character that has gone through something similar of what you have gone through. And it's incredibly encouraging, and you can find wisdom and practical ways to overcome things you're facing by getting into the Word. Amen? So I just wanted to say that before really getting into the message much. But today's elephant is misdirection. Everyone say misdirection.
Misdirection. Come on now.
So here's this compass. Now, before I get too much in, I have a disclosure, which is, how many knew Pastor Brian was taking me on a surprise last Sunday? Anyone knew that? He didn't broadcast it too much, but it was our one-year anniversary, and he decided that after church and after a full day of ministry, we were going to get in the car, and we were going to drive all the way to Newark, New Jersey, and back in the same day, because he said it'd be more memorable if he didn't book a hotel room. Y'all can tell him that afterwards, okay? So we drive all the way down there, and we hear, here he comes. He knew I was talking about him. And we hear, who knows Maverick City? Anyone know Maverick City? Oh, look it up, guys. Look it up. It's an incredible worship team. How many know the I Thank God song that we just, is that Maverick?
Yeah.
Perfect. They wrote that song, okay? House Fires. Anyone hear House Fires? You know House Fires? Okay. How many know Kirk Franklin? Ooh, yes. He's my favorite. Kirk Franklin's the best. Well, Brian took me to a concert where they were all playing. And I'll tell you what, it was the best concert I think I've ever been to in my life. I haven't been to many, but that place was on fire. There were 8,000 people, and we got like the nosebleed tickets because they're expensive. And somehow we got a free upgrade we have no idea why, to the floor. So I was one person away from Kirk Franklin on the stage. And I'll tell you what, it was incredible. So if you don't know these names, write them down and go worship Jesus with the music that they put out, because I tell you what, they break strongholds. These songs are powerful. But it's also why I don't have much of a voice, and I'm a little tired this morning because I'm still catching up on my sleep. So that was my disclaimer for this message. So just hang on with me. Is that all right? If I need honey, I may have some honey for my vocal cords. All right, so we're going to talk about misdirection. So elephants represent something that is taking up room in our life that Jesus died to set us free from, right? Is everybody following me? That's the definition we gave last Sunday, and we may change that definition over the month, but it's still the same for this morning. So I'm going to be preaching on misdirection, and the two scriptures that we talked about last week was in Luke 12:3. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs, right? So basically, what we think we can keep secret in our lives, the light can get shown on them. And sometimes that's scary if we're hiding something that isn't good. But in a positive light, that's also really incredible, right? And Matthew 6 tells the story repeatedly that Father God sees everything in our lives. So in Matthew 6, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in verse 4, it says, your Father who sees everything will reward you. In verse 6, then your Father who sees everything, man, I don't know if he would have rewarded that, but he will reward you. Verse 8, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. Verse 18, and your Father who sees everything, okay. Have you ever been rewarded by Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, let's say it like we meet it. Will? All right. We're going to keep doing that a couple Sundays. How many know it's much better to get a reward from God than from man, right? If man gives you a reward, he can take it away, right? And normally, men, and I don't mean men as in the gender, but, you know, people, they celebrate what they can see. Right? And so let's say Caleb, he gets a new car. Who could use a new car right now? Can we just, Jesus, that would be a great time for some, what is the chip that's missing from America or whatever that's causing all the cars? Anyway, lots more chips so that we can have nice cars that aren't as expensive, right? But let's say Pastor Caleb gets a new car, and we just bless you with a new car. That'd be great for you guys. but how many would come up to him and say, wow, look at your new car, right? Who would do that? I mean, I would. I'd be like, look at it. It's all fancy. He might detail it for you, right? And get it some shiny, all clean. But how many know that, and I'm not saying that Caleb is doing this, that's why I picked you. How many know Caleb might be going into really big debt paying payments, and no one would know about that, right? So we celebrate the external, but God would see what was going on behind the scenes, right? And that is not what they're doing. And so just so you know, I would not tell someone's secret like that. But we celebrate what we can see, but God celebrates what we can't see. And God cares about what we're doing. Sometimes we do it just for a performance or whatever, right? So today, before we get into the message, I just wanted to let everybody know that God sees you. Father God sees you, and he wants to reward you. We have a good, good father, right? We were going to sing that song if we had time. So we're going to get into two stories really fast here, and then we'll close out. So number one, what I focus on is the direction I lead others to, right? So we've got our compass here. And every man, I want, when you get one of these, remember this sermon, okay? So what I focus on is the direction I lead others to. So are you ready for a little story? So, and these are true stories, by the way. In 2019, there was a news article that wrote there was a flight that was destined for Dusseldorf, Germany. All right? You might see me looking at my notes because I want to get the facts right. So they were supposed to go to Dusseldorf. And, you know, I don't remember, it was a whole passenger plane, so maybe like 250 people, right? They're all flying to Dusseldorf, and they land, and they get to the tarmac or whatever, they're on the tarmac, and the person comes on and says, "Welcome to Edinburgh." And apparently all the passengers thought it was a joke. They're like, well, this is, you know, very funny. And then they realize, no, they're in Edinburgh. And the pilots realize it, and all the flight attendants realize it. Someone had inputted the wrong coordinates. And instead of going to Dusseldorf, the entire plane went to Edinburgh. And while they were in Edinburgh, they had to wait on the tarmac. I guess it was like 2 hours in like a sweaty thing while the toilets didn't work for them to like go back in the air and then go to Germany. And so what had happened apparently was, I don't know all the logistics of how planes are flown. My brother does that. But somebody's job was to put the coordinates in. And they had flown to Edinburgh the day before, and they were so tired that they put in yesterday's coordinates. So they ended up at yesterday's destination. Are you guys seeing where I'm going with this? If you repeat the patterns of yesterday, and you focus on yesterday or your past or whatever it is, you're going to follow, and people might even follow you to the wrong destination. Who has ever tried to make life decisions and you just keep ending up in the same spot? Anybody ever done that? I have definitely done that, right? I'm like, what is going on? And so I want to just speak to anybody who has their compass, their life compass, focused in the wrong direction. And, you know, we do this because of life experiences. We might do this because of beliefs we have about life or about who God is, because of what he's done in the past or what we think he hasn't done in the past. But I want to speak to anyone today who is misdirecting their heart and going the wrong direction. All right? So that's the first misdirection. The second misdirection, before we go to the second misdirection, I have one more story to tell in this. Today's sermon has a couple more stories than normal. Is that okay? All right, so just to reiterate my point, in 538 BC, everyone say 538, the Jews, they were exiled in Babylon, and they began to return to Judea, all right? And around 100 BC, everyone say 100, one clan from the line of David, now David was king, right? So if you were in the line of David, you were royalty. One clan from the line of David seems to have returned to Israel and established the town of Nazareth. Right? Everyone know Nazareth? And so historically, you can kind of guess that Nazareth was most likely established from the royal line of David. So that means that the people who lived in Nazareth were all royalty, right? So everyone say royalty. And I need honey for 1 second, so say royalty one more time. There we go. Okay. So they established in Nazareth instead of Jerusalem because someone had taken over the throne in Jerusalem and they were afraid for their lives. And so it was most likely that Nazareth was actually one whole family. So you think like living down the road from your family is hard or living in the same house as your family is hard, but imagine if the entire Freeville was your family. Anybody excited about that? Maybe some of us would be, right? But depending on the family, even the best of families, if you all live next to each other for 50 years, try like 200 years. That might get a little much, right? And so Matthew 2 kind of confirms this historical record. And King Herod then is on the throne, right? And he's still persecuting the line of the King of David, right? Because everyone's scared of this line. So by the time Jesus lives there, Nazareth would have been a little bit smaller than Freeville. So Freeville has 500 people in it, right? My dream for our church is to double the population of Freeville, right? It could happen. It could happen. So there are about 500 people in Freeville. And so there was most likely between 150 to 400 people in Nazareth, but they're all relatives. And they're all people who had been rejected as royalty. And they weren't just rejected as royalty, but they were also persecuted, and their family lines, like the records of their family, were destroyed so that their identity would become into question. Does this sound familiar? So by the time Jesus gets there, right, Jesus goes to Nazareth, and Nathanael, and we don't hear much about Nathanael, so when he talks in the Bible, it's always good to pay attention. Nathanael says, Jesus is from Nazareth, like, what good could come from Nazareth? Remember that scripture? I think it's in, where is it? Luke, hold on. Is it in John? I had it written down here. John. It's in John. And so what good could come from Nazareth? And it's because Nazareth had held on to their past identity of being rejected royalty. So before Nazareth ever rejected Jesus, they rejected themselves. Are you guys following? Because the compass of their heart was so focused on the past, so focused on their past rejection, that they believed nothing good could ever come from them. They would reject it before anybody else even had the chance. Have you ever rejected yourself before anybody else had the chance to? It's called self-sabotage, or it can be. And I have definitely caught myself doing that. It's like, ooh, if I just stop doing this, then I can let myself down before someone else lets me down, right? And so Nazareth had focused the direction of their heart towards rejection because of their past. And Jesus needed to come heal hearts, right? So number two, remember, what I focus on is the direction I lead others to. I've got one more airplane story. So the first one is redirection towards your past. Redirection towards trauma that has happened even in your family line, like King David, right? The second one is another airplane story. This one is a little bit less humorous, unfortunately. In 1979, a passenger airplane left for Antarctica. Everyone say Antarctica. Anyone ever been to Antarctica? Can you go to Antarctica? Is that even a thing? Can you land? I don't know. Anyway, Antarctica. It sounds cold. And the pilots put in a minor 2-degree error. Everyone say 2-degree. Now, 2 degrees might not seem like much, but it was enough that it placed the aircraft 28 miles to the east of where the pilots thought they were, and they crashed an entire passenger airplane into an active volcano. 28 miles off because of 2 degrees. And air navigation has this rule of thumb called the 1-in-60 rule. And I'm gonna read it, and it doesn't make much sense, but then I'll explain it. For every 1 degree a plane is off course, it misses its target destination by 1 mile for every 60 miles you fly. Sounds like one of those math problems in school books that you don't wanna repeat, right? The basic gist is, if you veer off course by 1 degree, everyone say one, flying around the equator, you will land 500 miles off target. 1 degree, 500 miles off target, all right? And I said this quote last week, but Ryan Bastris says, immaturity creates casualties of war, all right? And so where I want to land this message is, how do you see Father God? How do you see Father God? When I say that word, do you feel safe? Do you feel scared? Do you feel peace? Do you feel comfort? Because what you experience, and it doesn't have to be an emotion, but what you think of, what you experience when I ask the question, how do you see Father God, will define the direction that you lead your heart, you lead your mind, and others follow you. If we're off 1 degree with how we see Father God, immaturity creates casualties of war, right? one degree off from seeing who Father God is, and you might be 500 miles because of the equator. You guys following? And so as I was prepping this message, I thought of a lot of different ways that I could take it, but what I really felt that God wanted to drive home this morning was how we see Father God determines everything. It determines what we believe about ourselves. It determines what we believe about our family, about our region, about our relationships, about our future. Because with God, all things are possible. But if we think God is an angry, distant father, then we'll never be filled with hope or courage to actually accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. Are you guys following me? And so whether you think you know who Father God is perfectly or not this morning, whether you've been walking with God for a long time or not, I want to just invite you to take one more fresh look at who God is in your life. And I believe it's really time that as a church, we focus in on Father God. There's a scripture in the Bible. Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." And I know when I stand before God at the end, that would be the best thing that I could have said, right? Whenever time I stand before him, soon or far, I want to be able to say, I only did what I saw you do, God. How many want to be able to say that? As a church, as individuals, as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, I only did what I saw you do. And so Father God today, he wants to take your coordinates from rejection to acceptance, from condemnation to unconditional love. He wants to take them from punishment to guidance, from hatred to forgiveness, from orphans to adoption, from hell to heaven, right? That's the ultimate coordinate change when we get saved. Amen? And so Jesus wants to change the coordinates. Who here has ever been a little confused about who Father God is in the scripture? Anybody? If we're really honest? Yeah, I definitely have been as well. And there's a scripture found in Hebrews that kind of breaks the mystery code. Are y'all ready for it? It's Hebrews 1:3. Pastor Rod knows it. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the almost representation of his being. Is that what it says? No. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the opposite of his being. Is that what it says? No. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation. Everyone say exact. You don't have to look up the word for that. You don't have to look up the root word for that, right? Sustaining all things by his powerful word, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In other words, if we look at Jesus's life, we see he is gentle, he is humble. What does that make Father God? Right. We see Jesus as being generous. What does that make Father God? We see him as being compassionate and forgiving, right? Compassionate and forgiving. We see him not condemning, right? But guiding and welcoming people back to himself. Is that what Father God does as well, right? And so how we see Father God, it determines how we live. And whether, you know, sometimes it's like we're trying to maintain distance from God. Have you ever been in that place in your relationship where it's like, I might go to church, but like it's all about managing the distance because I'm afraid of what Father God might think of me or how he'll treat me if he finds out that I did this or I thought that or something happened to me, right? And God wants to instead change it this morning so that we're actually building connection with him, not maintaining distance. Amen? And so why don't you stand on your feet this morning? Today's message was really simple, but how many know that sometimes the simplest things are even the most challenging? And so this is a journey that I've been on for a long time of learning who Father God is. And I want to close out here by inviting you this week to look at Luke 15 in your devotion time with the prodigal son story. And I'm going to just read it here, and I want to invite you to close your eyes as I'm reading this and imagine Father God saying what the Father says in here straight to you. And I want to invite you, no matter what kind of week you've had or no matter where you're at in your walk with God, whether you're just trying to discover what it's all about or whether you've been walking with him a long time, just to listen to Father's heart in this story. So Luke 15, a son gets his inheritance early and spends it all, and he ends up desperate and alone and returns to his father's house to be a servant because he feels unworthy. And we're going to start at 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. God, I thank you that you are celebrating over every person here. Father, that we don't have to be an airplane that keeps going back to the past. We don't have to keep directing our hearts back to the past. We don't have to walk in immaturity. We don't have to cause danger to ourselves or other people because of how we don't see you for being who you are. God, I thank you that today is an invitation to go back to the Bible, to go back and discover your heart, and we see your heart through the life of Jesus. And so, God, I thank you that you're just going to be awakening a hunger in every heart here this morning to rediscover you as our Father God, to rediscover your goodness, your mercy that is new every morning, your courage, your guidance, God. And we just thank you for being who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to close with Hebrews 12. It says, fixing to see our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said, I'm going to take the compass of my heart, and I'm going to direct it right on the joy set before me. And God wants to redirect hearts this morning, to redirect you from discouragement to the joy, redirect you from the pain of your past to Father God's healing heart this morning, so that you can lead your heart, lead your family, lead your friends, lead your workplace, lead wherever your influence is back to the heart of God. Because that was the mission of Jesus and is the mission of us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.